Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to the Power Cat Podcast, presented by Fridge Wholesale Liquor. Now let's go to the rolling Flint Hills, home of the Cats and Dogs studio. Here's your host, Tim Fitzgerald.
Welcome to the Cats and Dogs studio. I'm Fitz. That's Zach across the table with me, from me, around me. And that is Ryan Gilbert in the middle, where he belongs. Nobody puts baby in the corner, but you put Ryan Gilbert in the middle. That was a Dirty Dancing reference. Gilbert, you probably didn't get it at all.
Nope.
We got nothing going on, so that's the podcast. That's it. That's all. It's going to be interesting. I don't know what the questions are, as usual. And if you're not familiar with the podcast, this is available for all K-State fans. Well, any fan. I mean, if you're a Baylor fan, you might have some interest in this one. And but the questions come from our VIPs at Go Power Cat. And Zach lifted the threshold here. It's been one question per. We struggled last week.
Well, it's been one per sport.
Sport.
Football or now basketball. It's, and now just it's ask. Just, I just said, everybody ask.
Who went over the top? Anyone?
It was reasonable.
Okay, that's good. Good. We're sponsored by the Fridge Wholesale Liquor. As always, we've been sponsored by them for many, many years. Great people, great selection, and make sure you stop into the fridge when you're in town. If you've got questions about products, they've got the people that can give you the answers, and go check out their social media. It's pretty damn good. Yeah, Fridge Fridays are my favorite. That's it. That's the whole read. Let's get on with your questions from Wabash Station. Gills went blurry. Kills, we got to get your upgraded internet going here. You know, I'm sure you're downloading stuff to watch and probably want it done more quickly so you don't have to wait.
Too many Zach film Carlson studies.
With your questions. Yes, exactly. That's what I was talking about. Here's your questions from Wabash Station.
From Get Off the Schneid, Fitz, where does this weekend rank on the wildest things you've covered during your time at K-State?
I don't know that it was that high. It was just weird because let's back up. So back-to-back DDs, one that myself and Derek Young at KSO had been reportedly saying that Jerome Tang had been offered by Arkansas. I was talking to Arkansas. And those were made up. Neither one of us had reported it. And yet the made-up rumors were correct. They were right. They had been talking. And I thought those rumors were just simply late. I knew Jerome had, you know, touched base with them, but they moved on to Chris Beard pretty quickly. And I was just starting one of our podcasts. And right before I went on the air, I think it was the Big 12 Insiders, I saw that Chris Beard had pulled out of that job chase or whatever. And I knew Jerome Tang was now in play and see where it went. Arkansas swears he was never offered the job, and I think it's just a good way of saying, well, we never made the final offer. You know, the one that you're going to say yes to because you've already said yes. It's kind of a stupid little game they play. But he ended up, you know, seeing what K-State had to offer and did his thing, prayed upon it, and came to the decision that he really wants to be here. Now, we might find out if that's true with this Baylor thing going on, but if Scott Drew goes to Kentucky, we might start this cycle all over again, and then it will rank pretty high after a guy that just said, I'm here, I'm preparing for next year. And if he then interviews somewhere else, I think the fans will be upset, even though I think the fans understand the Baylor thing, but just the timing is so awkward for all parties involved.
you go, I don't, none of us want to talk about the Naquan Tomlin stuff anymore, no. But you know, after not playing for the first month and a half of the season, fans were really starting to get angry. And so social media was going crazy. There's protests on campus, Naquan Tomlin's showing up, and then he's kicked off the team officially from Richard Lenton. That stuff happened in a 24-hour time span. I think that was more hectic than Jerome Tang, anything that's happened over the last 7 days with him. And so moving forward, something might happen with Tang where I take back that statement. But it was crazy, certainly. But Jerome Tang is still a head coach of Kansas State, so could have been crazier.
Yeah, it could have been. And, maybe we'll get the crazier here pretty soon.
Yeah, I think what makes it wilder is the chance that it's still, I mean, the dominoes are still falling. It just, we thought Jerome Tang was going to be one of the early dominoes, and it just so happens it could be one of the later dominoes to fall. So, you know, you think SMU firing their coach would have been solved by now, this whole domino effect that we're talking about, but here we are, 21, 22 days, whatever, since it's it was
20.
20 yeah, something
20
whatever it is.
And they've, let's see, so they filled their job, USC's filled its job, Arkansas filled its job, now Kentucky needs to fill its job, all in the course of 20 days. And as I pointed out in my daily delivery today, used to be getting a coach hired in a week was really rushing it. Now you got to do it in a matter of days because of the transfer portal. I'm not sure, I don't think Arkansas has a single player right now. I think their entire team left. It's just a mess. The portal, I wish they would put a 48-hour wait on players being able to go into the portal when their coach leaves. Just have a little cooling off period. But, you know, they've got the right to go to whatever school they want to now, and I don't think there's any way you can limit it.
At least hear what the potential incoming coach might have to tell you, right? Bruce Weber won, Rodney Magruder, J.O., Artavius Irving. All those guys, he won them over and won a Big 12 title. So just because your coach is leaving doesn't mean you got to go bail too.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like the players almost feel obligated to leave. You know, they came for their coach and he's gone, I'm going. And I just think that's kind of where the basketball culture's gone really awry. It's like everyone is literally mercenary for hire. And there's just no school loyalty, really.
Yeah, I think it gets wilder if Scott Drew does go to Kentucky, because it opens, it rips the Band-Aid right back off.
Well, I mean, they're going to go after Grant McCasland if that happens, and that might open. I don't think he'll go. I think he just got set up at Texas Tech. I don't see him leaving after a year, but he's their guy. Remember, he was the associate head coach, and he is a former player, I guess. Jerome Tang became the associate head coach when McCasland went to North Texas. So I'm hearing that'll be their first push, and maybe Bryce Drew, Scott's brother, who's at Grand Canyon, will also be high on that list. I've actually heard people say that they don't think Baylor will go after Jerome Tang for whatever reason. Maybe it's that he's let them know he's happy here. I'm not sure.
Moving on to KSU Caesar. I don't think we've had KSU Caesar before.
I love your salads, man. Yeah. Keep up the good work.
Welcome.
I love your palace.
Yeah, that's palace. Does he live in Las Vegas? Do we know?
It's the real one.
Yeah.
How much do you think almost losing Jerome Tang impacted NIL contributions? It seemed to spur a lot of donations this last week.
It is. It's very interesting. I was a little surprised to hear, you know, that their membership was as low. I thought a lot of fans would be doing it. They've done a great job. I don't know who the donor is that has pledged X amount of dollars if they can pick up X number of commitments or, you know, new members. And they're closing in. They're over 750 now. They're closing in on 1,000, where that will unlock $1 million donation into the NIL. And that's significant. But keep in mind, that's just that $1 million is, I don't know what the overall NIL budget is for Wildcat NIL, but that is maybe 10% of the money they need on an annual basis to keep up. I don't know how schools are going to sustain this. No idea. But yes, it helped quite a bit. It raised awareness. And really, this is a factor that fans can control. Fans always felt helpless when a coach was job searching. But now getting, you know, investing in the NIL and say, coach, we're going to lift your NIL budget so you can get better players. That can be a big factor here. If Kentucky, for some reason they don't, but if say for some reason they had a really small NIL budget, that would impact them in a really negative way that even the name on the front of the jersey couldn't overcome. Now they don't have that problem. I'm sure their NIL is thriving, but this is a whole nother factor for coaches to consider in moving.
If you're somebody that doesn't understand, real quick, Zach, I'll say this, yeah, that if you don't understand NIL, maybe how it works, the ins and outs of it, you're not going to understand where my money's going if I'm donating or I subscribe. But Wildcat NIL on February 1st is now the official partner, NIL partner with K-State Athletics. And so maybe some people are just feeling more trust or more comfort that, okay, or this just simply makes sense for some boomer out there like Fitz that doesn't know what it means, right? So I think that becoming the official partner is helping this as well.
I'm not a boomer.
How old are you?
He was born in 1964, which just so happens to be the cutoff year of the baby boomers.
Yes, I go over the other way. Yeah. I'm wondering, what is it?
He likes being Gen X.
Yeah, that's I'm really young and, you know, healthy.
You're Boomer X.
I'm Boomer X. Ooh, that'd be a good nickname on all probably the old Twitter. Yeah.
I think I'm with you, Gills. Consolidating the collectives into one and having a guy like Curry Sexton being the face of it puts a lot of trust into K-Staters. I think that the fans understand at least who the money is going to, and you know, they trust what it's going to do, what their money is going to do and what it's going for. So I'm with you there. But also I wonder, I mean, we talk about, you know, Tang just had this thing with Arkansas. If it happens again with Baylor or next year, it's other jobs, bigger jobs. I mean, yeah, the NIL growth is great. And maybe this was a good thing for the NIL a little bit, but how many cycles of this can you rally the troops to say, we need to boost our NIL and get more money so we can keep our coach? Like, it's unsustainable. Like you said, I don't know where it ends. It's, you know, uncharted territory right now, but part of me wants to say that this was a net positive because it got Tang more money and it got the NIL
cooking.
You know,
it's cooking.
Going, and you know, Tang has apparently been given more of that NIL budget to go get players. So, you know, I think good things came out of this coaching search.
I would totally agree. I think it's benefited the NIL. It's and awareness is through the roof right now. And I would encourage you, if you're a fan that really wants to support Kansas State Athletics, to go ahead and join in Wildcat NIL. I'm not sure what the membership cost is.
I think you can join for $10, as low as $10. But there's a bunch of different tiers that you can join and contribute at. There's different benefits that, you know, come with each of those tiers. So you can donate whatever you want, basically per month, whatever you're happy with. So, you know, we'll never probably know what the real number is. But if you take the lowest tier, times it by whatever the membership is, you know, that's your monthly expectation there. So it's definitely much more than that, but just kind of a starting baseline point. Next question is from Get Off the Schneid again. Do the changes put in place with Jerome Tang's new contract regarding the administration's involvement with the team and increased investment in Tang and his coaches along with the NIL, does that pave the way for him to be here for the long haul?
This Baylor thing is really the main school I've been worried about, but I thought, no, Scott Drew's not going anywhere. He's going to retire there. So this kind of caught me off guard a little bit. I didn't know. Apparently he's coveted Kentucky. That's the one job he's always said he'd go to. But I think there's a little infighting, but what was the question? Well, I just kind of said,
the new contract with the administration.
Right.
So there's Gene Taylor's a buffer now between the university and athletics.
Yep.
And then Tang's got more money for him and his staff, plus the increase in NIL.
Yeah. And look, I know everyone wants details on this. I don't have them. I was just given the big picture of now there's a new process that has some checks and balances in it, which I think we can all agree is good. You know, even if you wanted that player removed from the roster. I think you agree letting them have a little due process probably is the right way to do it. Not just kicking him off without a meeting, which was very strange. And that can't happen again.
I don't want to rehash this, but I really haven't talked about it. But yeah, the fact that Naquan Tomlin was allowed to graduate from the university, that is from the university side. You know, I see the president being in charge of things that are on the university. Gene Taylor's in charge of athletics. If he is good enough on the academic side and he hasn't broken any, or, you know, or at least has made amends on any athletics or Jerome Tang or team rules, you know, whatever there, if that's good, if both are happy, you know, that's my biggest issue with the whole thing is he was allowed to graduate. If the president wants him off the team, he should be kicked off out of school.
I would think so too.
The whole thing never really added up. I think that Gene Taylor, you know, we don't know the details. We don't know if we'll ever know the details, but the new process seems to be a good thing, at least for keeping Jerome Tang and keeping, you know, priorities, you know, where the administration's priorities should be. Gene Taylor is the leader of athletics,
right,
part of the president's cabinet. The president needs to trust Gene Taylor to run the place.
You know, even if you're the president, and with all that took place post decision, you're probably down for these added layers here, so that you're insulated too.
Right.
So you're not in the middle of these controversies. So I think it's going to be a good thing for athletics.
Gills? Anything?
The answer to the question is, we'll just see what happens. If nothing happens with Baylor, we'll see what happens a year from now. Yeah. Is Tang, he's always going to be mentioned in, you know, openings, but if it starts to pick up steam, that's going to be your answer. If K-State's really secured him, I forget the phrasing of the question, but we'll see next offseason. If this is still happening, then I don't want to say you got to panic or be concerned, but I don't know if you're ever going to be fully comfortable. But next offseason, if he shoots everything down and, you know, this was the one time for him to get that raise and get control over his program, which is valid for him to do that after everything that happened. If this was the time for him to do that, then great. But if this happens again next season, you know, it's probably going to be a pattern where that happens every offseason, you know, truth be told.
One thing I'm most interested in that I don't think I've seen reported anywhere, nobody's really talking about it. Does Jerome Tang's buyout get increased with these new contract negotiations? Because I think $6 million is what it currently was. April 30th, it goes to $5 million, and then each year after drops by $1 million. At a certain point, if you're Gene Taylor, if you're K-State, I think you need to say, here's the buyout, you know, whatever your price is. And it needs to be big enough if a school like Kentucky or KU even, or, you know, whoever, a blue blood program comes and says, we want your coach. If the fee is $15 million, I think you just need to say, we would rather have the $15 and get a new coach and get that infusion of cash in the athletic department, right, than trying to sit here and renegotiate and try. You know, I think that Jerome Tang's value to Kansas State is higher than $6 million. I think Gene Taylor recognizes that, but, you know, you can't just do this every year and expect to give him more money. You know, yes, you need to pay Jerome Tang what his market value is, but at the same time, at a certain point, you need to say it is in the best interest of our athletic department for you to go and us to take the money and not negotiate an increase. As much as that's hard to say, especially with a guy like Jerome Tang, but his value only reaches a certain point, I think. And
I agree.
And I mean, K-State, you know, ever since John Curry, you know, the good budget, the good fiscal responsibility of the athletic department has been incredible. And at a certain point, I do think that needs to be taken into account. You can't get into these bidding wars and then just trying to ever so slightly increase, you know, because we see what I think Calipari's making $7 million at Arkansas. Tang wasn't going to make that, but no, it's clear that Arkansas could have made a much bigger offer for Tang that K-State probably couldn't have defended against. So
right,
it's just, I think at a certain point you need to get Tang's buyout higher.
I agree. I mean, if he wants to do this, then make sure the buyout is substantial enough to make the pain less if he does depart. And I hope he doesn't get into this on the regular, but you know, that's an agent. That's agents do this. They play this game. They leak the information to national reporters. They do this and that. And then the coaches turn around and complain that it's affecting their recruiting when it's their own agent doing this. I hate that game.
Yeah.
I think the game is ridiculous. Oh, it's affecting our recruiting. Then tell your agent to shut up. Don't set the fire and then complain about the heat. K-Staters aren't going to have much tolerance for job shopping for raises every year. That will get old real fast. That's not this culture. And that's not what these people at this school are about.
Deep down, though, Jerome Tang is the only one that can tell that answer. But was it a raise or was it control or NIL? Like, there's multiple factors. It wasn't just him getting that raise that he was after. I'm sure that was a huge part of it. That might have been number one on his list, but maybe he wanted to say, you know, Gene Taylor, hey, you are going to let me and you, whatever, have control of this program, not the president. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I'm told it was $1 million that he could divvy up how he wanted. He'd keep it all, give it all to his coaches. However he wanted to spread that out was up to him, and I think that's a good move. Don't make those decisions for him. Let's see what he does, and I have no idea what he did do.
I feel like he's going to split up quite a bit of that money.
I do. I think that's who Jerome is. He's going to make sure his guys are taken care of.
He's going to give us some, right?
Yes.
Bought and paid for. Gills admitted it.
Yes, we are. For $1 million, yes.
Last question of the first half from Call Me T22. Is this the wildest coaching carousel domino effect you've ever seen? Yeah. SMU started the chain reaction that apparently has led to Calipari leaving Kentucky. He has at this point. He's going to Arkansas. Where does it go from here? Should we start worrying again?
Will someone hire a mid-major and stop this cycle? I mean, everyone's hitting home runs. USC hiring Coach Musselman from Arkansas was a huge hire for them. And now you get, I never dreamed Arkansas could pull off Calipari, but they did it. And now you've got Kentucky on the clock feeling obligated to make a big move, and the fans want something worthy of their attention. And that's not Scott Drew. That's beneath them. You know, it's, they had John Calipari. I think short of digging up John Wooden's bones, is he dead? I don't even know. And dropping them in Lexington, they won't be happy about who they are. Sorry, Coach Wooden. I apologize.
John Wooden has been dead for 14 years. He was 100. Excuse me. He was 99 when he died.
Quitter.
He missed it by 4 months.
Okay. Yeah. Short of that, I don't think they'll be happy. They're a weird fan base. If you get annoyed by KU, UK is probably far worse. Ask John Higgins and his roofing company in Omaha about that. So I just don't see Scott Drew enjoying that culture. Coming from a small religious school, he's very religious himself, to go to that, getting thrown into the boiling water there.
But it's Kentucky.
You get to be the coach at Kentucky.
What I mean by that is it is in the Bible Belt. Like, I don't think that Scott Drew leaving Baylor, a very religious school, there are certain fits. And I think Jerome Tang fits in with this as well. There's certain schools. I don't think it matters if you're a basketball power or what. Are you in the Bible Belt? I think that that's a big play here. I don't think that Scott Drew's going to feel out of place if he's in Lexington, Kentucky.
Gills would.
Yeah, I'd feel out of place anywhere that isn't the Little Apple.
Thank you. Good. Wow. And plus, you're scared of horses.
Okay.
I don't know. I made that up.
Are you trying to make a Kentucky Derby joke? Mm-hmm. That is not the right city.
I know.
Okay.
I'm aware of that. That's it for the first half. I'm not able to bust on Gills in a proper way today. I'm off my game. But we're going to take a lengthy break here for 21 seconds. Well, you'll see some ads in there if you're watching later, and gather and try to regroup and do a better job. In other words, I hope the questions are good. We'll be back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Please visit the Fridge Wholesale Liquor, located at the corner of Claflin and Westport Road in Manhattan, Kansas.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the show. Let's return to the Cats and Dogs studio.
Welcome back to the Power Cat Podcast. Fitz, Gills, and Zach here, taking your questions from Wabash Station and turning them into, well, magic. Speaking of magic, head into the Fridge Wholesale Liquor. It's no trick. It's a treat right there at the Fridge. That was the worst one ever. That was absolutely awful. I apologize to Kevin and everyone at the Fridge. I miss them. I haven't been there in a while. So anyhow, Gills.
What?
I just wanted to hear your voice.
I'm here.
Here's more of your questions of Wabash Station. Zach, take it away.
From Cat in Colo, it seems like all of the basketball drama has overshadowed spring football. Let's fix that. What are the surprises, impressions, and or other updates you have heard about for spring football thus far?
I think the coaches are really pleased with spring football. I think they feel like they're making a lot of progress. And I've emphasized this a number of times that this is a young roster. So it's kind of insulated from transfer portal NIL nonsense that's going on across football. I'm sure guys are getting calls. Court system's taken down the walls, you know, about contacting someone else's players. So coaches and collectives and agents are doing that. But I think K-State's been able to stay focused on football. I thought the most interesting thing that Matt Wells said on Wednesday at his press conference was that he knew Avery was a runner. He knew he was a capable thrower, but he's been amazed at how consistent he is as a passer, how the ball comes out of his hand identical from pass to pass, and that how accurate and strong arm he has. So I think that's been a surprise. I think the offensive line is coming together. You found out today they have a defense. I forgot to look up the name of it. They have a new scheme where they're going to put three defensive ends on the field with a nose tackle. So it'd be four linemen, but I think one will be a stand-up speed rusher. So they're going to see some new stuff on the defensive side, which I'm excited about. I think they need to probably add a little depth at running back and nose tackle, certainly. And we'll see where that takes them. But I think this has been a productive spring. But, you know, I don't buy too much into spring. It's go to work, you know, get after it and improve, and guys move up and down the depth chart. And then the season rolls around. It all shakes out the way it was supposed to be. And, you know, you see guys that maybe were spring stars that just kind of disappear.
Yeah. I think Chidi Obaze.
Oh my gosh.
Obiezer?
He walked in the interview room Chidi today. That's a big human.
He is a very large human being. I'm excited to see him this fall. I'm excited. I hope he still gets to come to media, because if Bill Snyder was the head coach, after what he told us about,
spilled the beans. He
told us what the sets were. They sound fun. They sound exciting, but there's going to be no surprises come September.
You know, sometimes guys walk in the room and you're like, he isn't as big as I thought he would be. Felix Anidike-Uzomah, for example, was big and put together. but Chidi's a lot bigger than him. I mean, I'm 6'2", 6'3". He used to be 6'4". I keep getting shorter. I'm going to be 5'9" pretty soon. But I was clearly looking up to him. He seems to be about 6'6".
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's accurate, but and he's a big dude. Because, and of course, this is the first time we've had him, so nobody knew who he was. So when they announced him, we're like, holy crap, that's a defensive end. That's not what K-State defensive ends have really looked like. Maybe Jordan Willis, but he's bigger than Jordan Willis. So it's kind of the type of guy you need in major college football right now is those big athletic guys. But they're really deep at defensive end. So I think this has been a way to get multiple guys on the field at once, get three guys out there together.
So we've probably watched two hours worth of practice this spring, about 30 minutes over the course 30. Of 4 days. Yeah. I can probably count on one hand the number of passes that Avery Johnson either had dropped or made a bad throw.
Right. I've only seen him make one bad throw.
Like, he's been good, really good. Just, you know, it's hard to read into drills and, you know, whatever else, but Avery Johnson looks great. Head and shoulders above the other quarterbacks in the room. Bummer that Blake Barnett is here, but not participating. Yeah. He's in the pit, but, you know, quarterback feels really good with Avery.
Well, and I watched last time I was at practice, I watched Jacob Knuth a little bit and I was surprised. And Matt Wells talked about it today. He's got some zip on the ball. And he said he's improved vastly from when he went back and watched the bowl prep film, to compared to what he's doing now. He's come a long ways, and he was very encouraged by that.
And I know people have asked about DJ Giddens. The last 2 weeks hasn't been participant in practice. I think that was indicated earlier that they were going to kind of keep him on a pitch count, not have him take so many reps. I don't know if there was an actual like injury or, you know, anything specific that we were told about, but this wasn't completely unexpected that he would be taking a lot of reps off. That LeJames White and Joe Jackson would be getting a lot of those reps when they're going 11 on 11.
When you're clearly the number one guy and not the quarterback, where you got to build some continuity, you don't need to be out there every day. You know the offense, and you're basically just stealing reps from guys that need more and more reps. And so I think it's good to rest some of those veteran guys that have gone through a season, gotten beaten up. I think he might have a shoulder situation. I'm not sure. And just go from there. Just let him heal up.
Next question is from SES Ref Cat. How much does recruiting matter now with NIL? It feels like buying players or going to a player auction than recruiting. What are your thoughts?
It's both. Yeah, it's both. I mean, you got to make sure you sell yourself. But I do find it entertaining how quickly kids, after taking months and months to decide on where they're going, 1 year later, they're in the transfer portal and basically decide in a day, you know, off of one Zoom call or something. It's just crazy. And again, I don't think this is sustainable. I think players will get even sick of it, but we'll see. I don't know. I'm just... there's no loyalty from coaches or players now, and fans are kind of sick of it already.
I think it matters for building that 75% of your roster. Probably this probably goes for basketball and maybe less so basketball, probably 50-50 for basketball, but football 75%, probably your base guys, your offensive linemen, your tight ends, your, you know, the types of guys historically that K-State recruits. Mm-hmm. Lunch pail, blue collar, go to work and grind, you know, turn something in, or, you know, turn nothing into something kind of guys. The other 25%, you're probably still recruiting, but, you know, it's the NIL market of, you know, the top 250 recruits in the country. If you can land a couple of those, maybe spend a little bit of NIL money to get them, you know, I think that's some of it, but, you know, you still need to go and uncover guys and find some gems hiding in the rough. You know, you can't just field a full football team with NIL in the transfer portal. You know, you can use it to supplement, but I don't think that, at least in football, NIL matters as much as it does in basketball. I think basketball, you need to find, you know, like right now, they've got David Castillo. That's the only high school recruit. You probably want more than just one. But at the same time, you can do a little better in the transfer portal with NIL than what, you know, you might be able to do just getting raw talent straight out of high school.
Agreed.
Yeah, basketball and football, it's different right now. You look at the playing field has been leveled. Like, Kansas has struggled. You know, John Calipari essentially kind of got ran out of Lexington at Kentucky. And so you're seeing, you know, Kansas State now has a chance to compete and get some of these dudes. I'm not saying Doug McDaniel would go to a blue blood if NIL wasn't a thing, but K-State, NIL didn't hurt K-State here with getting Doug McDaniel. And so it's, you know, football, it's going to be tough to get a, you know, five-star not to go to Bama or Georgia or something like that. But with football, with basketball, you know, it's, I think it's a good thing for Kansas State in both, you know, sports, but in basketball specifically, this is, paying for players. I forget how the question was phrased. I mean, again, we've talked about this many times, guys, that both of these coaches don't want to get into bidding wars. Obviously that sort of strategy or maybe the acceptance of the NIL has changed over the past year or two, but I don't view the NIL as being really a bad thing for Kansas State, or for college athletics as a whole and stuff. You know, that's obviously a whole different story, but for Kansas State, it's been a plus.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It levels the playing field. I mean, you look at Doug McDaniel, you know, there's some other Power Five blue blood type talent in the portal that could potentially come to K-State. I don't think that happens without NIL. It was, you know, in the transfer portal before it was hard to come up with that. Is that a siren?
I live very close to Aggieville, as you guys know. So it gets rowdy over here.
They think it's fake Paddy's Day. Are they?
Yeah.
I think the NIL has done things in college athletics we didn't foresee. It's leveled the playing field a little bit. It's creating opportunities for kids that might be number two on the depth chart at some big school to go be the star at what would be perceived as a lesser school. And he turns out to be legitimate big time. I mean, you look at Will Howard. He was thought to be a good quarterback at K-State. He's now Ohio State's quarterback. So I think there's now a realization that just because he was a three-star out of high school doesn't mean he's not a top quarterback. And the NIL proves that when he gets an offer like that. But I think we're seeing some lesser schools maybe win NIL battles at lesser and budget schools that they didn't expect, because Avery Johnson, I've said this before, his value to Kansas State is probably greater than his value at any blue blood. And that helps you keep your players at home that you want the local players. So I think it's been good for K-State.
From I Like Pickles Cat, you're going to say no, but look at the schedule first. Should the Big 12 Conference open conference play in week one for football moving forward?
That's really interesting.
No.
Yes.
Are you just fulfilling his dreams right there?
Yeah. Somebody's got to say it, right?
I'm intrigued by that, actually. I kind of wish they had done it this year.
Absolutely.
Even have a week zero game that kicks off the new Big 12. I think they missed an opportunity here by not seeing it. I mean, they could have done, had K-State Arizona play in late August in week zero if they got to, you know, whatever you have got to do to play those games. I think they could have gotten that done. And then K-State would have had 3 weeks off in their schedule, and I would have been even more happy. It's about me, really. If they can get me more weeks off, that's great. Now, I do think they missed an opportunity here of marketing and putting their games out there when a lot of games on TV are trash, and have an opportunity to maybe be on bigger channels than what you would have if you're playing week one and two conference games.
TCU, so for Power Five games in week one for Big 12, TCU plays at Stanford on Friday night. ACC Big 12 matchup right there. Mm-hmm. Classic.
Yeah.
Classic battle right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you have West Virginia, and it seems like West Virginia, it carries the load for the Big 12 when it comes to Power Five non-con.
They don't mess around.
They are playing Penn State at home that week. Everyone else is playing, let's see, you've got New Mexico, Wyoming, Tarleton State, Southern Illinois. I think that's New Hampshire. Towson. Hold
on. Are they playing the University of New Hampshire or the entire state?
Could be both.
Okay.
We don't know what UCF is doing. Towson, North Dakota State. They go to Colorado.
Good luck with that.
UNLV, actually, it could be a good game.
Yeah.
Could be a good game. UNLV, North Dakota, Lindenwood travels to KU. Then K-State plays UT Martin. Oklahoma State with South Dakota State. Abilene Christian, I assume it just says Abilene. Could be Abilene High School for all we know for Texas Tech. Southern Utah, and then, yeah, West Virginia. So,
Pickles, I'll go off this and say I wouldn't mind if there's further expansion at the Big 12. They get up to 24 schools or something. If they played 10 conference games. I know they won't because that puts you at a disadvantage. Certainly when the SEC is playing eight, you end up with more losses for your teams. But I think being able to offer more quality inventory to the television entities is important. And, you know, I can't imagine ESPN's real thrilled. They just kind of deal with it with that November Patsy weekend, the cupcake festival of the SEC. And, I think you could overcome that by just scheduling more conference games. And if you're at 24 schools in your conference, they're not going to feel like repetitive conference games. You're going to play different teams all the time. It'll be really kind of entertaining.
Yeah. If the playoff is expanding and the Big 12 is guaranteed, whatever, two spots, you know, whatever the guarantees are, is there a reason to play nine conference games? If you have two guaranteed spots in your conference,
no.
You should play eight.
Yeah.
If everybody else is playing eight, you should play eight.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason. You should try playing seven or six. Why not?
Well, yeah.
You know?
I mean, I don't want that.
No, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. See how the SEC likes it if you play seven.
Right.
They'll scream bloody murder. And they won't get the irony of that they've been doing that to everyone else.
Yeah.
I just think the SEC's that's an embarrassment what they do. They're the best conference, right?
The Big Ten plays eight, right?
I think
there's. Are they going to nine?
I thought so.
Okay. But still, if the SEC is going to continue playing eight games, at the very least, match them. Just say, we have our guaranteed spots. You have your guaranteed spots. We're going to go play an extra cupcake in November.
Right. That boosts the schedule. I mean, if you look at an SEC team, you can schedule your non-conference with four winnable games. You have to go 2-6 in your conference to be bowl eligible.
But really, when you go into the expanded playoff, I think it's beneficial what the SEC does, scheduling a non-conference right. game against a FCS team in November. It gives the chance for your guys to still play a game, but they get to take a break, hopefully. You get to pull them out of the game and say, hey, we've got two more games, plus a championship game, plus four games and, you know, or three games, whatever it is for the college football playoff. I mean, I think that a certain point, I say certain point a lot. I'm realizing that right now and it's bugging me. But you realize all of the, you know, there's no benefit to not copying the SEC. If you have guaranteed spots, just accept it for what it is.
Yeah.
Just be the SEC. You're not going to lose your spots.
I'll be unhappy about that, but well, I understand exactly what you're saying. It's math.
On the flip side, if you play 10 conference games, you're going to have a lot more losses, but you're still guaranteed those spots, right? So it doesn't matter how many you play, up or down from nine.
If you go undefeated, you're going to be a top six seed. If you go
okay, so in terms of seeding.
If you go 9-3, you're going to be traveling to I think Oxford, Mississippi.
The important part here is if – instead of taking a loss and being 8-4, you've got that non-conference game that lets you get to 9-3, and all of a sudden you're in contention for an at-large bid, and the Big 12 slides a third team in there. So,
gotcha, makes sense.
I see where it's going.
Yeah.
More?
We have one more question, I believe, from KSU Caesar again. Many argue K-State and Utah are top contenders for the conference. Who do you see as the number three and number four teams in 2024?
Arizona and Kansas. I really do. I think Iowa State's going to be good. I think this conference is going to be a total mess. I mean, we always say that, but look, Colorado, we don't know what they're going to be this year. I mean, they delved back into the transfer portal. You know, it's a dartboard. You might hit a bullseye. Look, Arizona State's down. BYU's supposed to be way down, which is unfortunate. I think UCF's going to be better. They now kind of acclimated maybe to playing at this level. I think this conference is going to be wildly entertaining this year. And again, but that kind of parity leads to more ho-hum records. You don't have that undefeated team or team that goes 8-1 in the conference. It's hard to do. But yeah, I think this is going to be a really fun football season in the state of Kansas if Jalen Daniels plays. And I think it'll be really amazing to see these two programs fighting for to be near the top of one of the Power Five conferences. Who would have thunk that maybe 30 years ago? Not me.
I don't know. I mean, it could be anybody. I think we're right in our assessment that K-State and Utah are probably going to play in Arlington for the championship.
Vegas knows. You know, there's no schools right now in the conference that Vegas tries to bait, you know, like Texas fans into.
Right.
It's pretty much what they really believe the teams will be, and that's Utah, K-State, Arizona, Kansas. And then it gets a little bit jumbled up in there, but TCU could rise up. Texas Tech had a disastrous season. They, again, could be good. They kind of fell apart on them. West Virginia is going to be fine. Neil Brown has kind of turned the ship a little bit. There's just a bunch of good quarterbacks in this conference. If you got good quarterbacks, you're going to be entertaining football and you're going to win games.
Yeah. I mean, K-State and Utah are both plus 350, and there's a big gap there. KU's the next at 650, and then you go down and Arizona's number four. So yeah, you're right. I mean, KU and Arizona in terms of the betting lines, you're right. But I don't think you guys have – I don't think you mentioned Oklahoma State. That's not a team that I'm going to write off. They're at plus 1,200. I think there's some value there if they can get things together.
I mean, get things together. They played the championship game. I mean
– that was the most under-equipped team ever to make a championship game. They had one – month of really good football and the rest was pretty ho-hum, but they won enough games to get themselves there. They've got one of the worst quarterbacks in the conference. I just believe that he's not dynamic in any way, but they do have an incredible NFL level running back. And that if they continue to hand Ollie Gordon the ball, they're going to win a lot of games.
I just think Arizona having a brand new coach, they had a great year last year. Don't get me wrong, but a new coach, not a team I'd pick to be in the top four of a 16-team league. I'd probably go Oklahoma State and then probably TCU. I think TCU bounces back at some point. So,
agreed. There's just a lot of good teams in this conference. There may not be a clear-cut alpha, but there's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be very interesting to watch it.
It's crazy. You look at hoops with Houston dominating in men's basketball, and you look at their plus 18,000. They're dead last in terms of the betting odds to win the Big 12 in football. So you get what you can take with Houston.
But they're going to be good. Now, Willie Fritz will turn that thing around pretty quickly. So I think that's going to be an issue. And Houston, they could be a monster. I mean, if you have that kind of recruiting base and you start keeping those players in town, it could get interesting. I feel the same way about UCF with their kind of recruiting base that's isolated in terms of the Big 12.
I think KU without a stadium is not a team I would pick to be good this year either.
I just don't. I think the fun of that is wearing off already for the fans. And they saw parking is some outrageous amount of money at Arrowhead.
38, I think, is what it was.
To park a car in an empty paved lot? Do I get any detailing with that? It's just kind of, I don't know. But yeah, it's not going to look good. They're going to have 40,000 people in a 70,000 seat stadium, and it's just not going to look good.
They'll have the two lower decks.
Yep.
The upper deck will be barren.
Probably. Is that a prediction?
That is a prediction.
Gotcha.
There might be. They probably won't close the upper deck, but they probably can.
They should. Make it look more packed down there.
Yeah. I agree.
Tarps?
I don't think you tarp off that
much. See if Baylor can send up a tarp for a couple weeks.
I'll be interested to see how it works. Of course, their non-conference games are going to be at Sporting's, Children's Mercy Park. And I think that's going to be fun. I think those games will be cooler.
Yeah.
Because the people that are in there are going to be invested in being there. And I think it'll be kind of a fun atmosphere. Is that it?
That's it.
That's it. That's it for the Power Cat podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. By the way, we'll have a special recruiting podcast that will drop later in the week here, I think on Friday. But that'll be behind our paywall. The recruiting stuff typically stays behind the paywall. And Cole Carmody and Ryan Wallace are going to convene right after this to record an exclusive Power Cat podcast for our subscribers. We thank the Fridge for their ongoing support. Thank you, Gills and Zach. That's it. I'm Fitz, and we are done. If I can find the ending, we are done.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production. Please support this show by subscribing to this YouTube channel or follow us on your favorite podcast platform.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.